From pandemics to politics, the world faces uncertainty.
I personally believe that all the perils and plagues in the world today may actually be a good thing, even a God thing, in the sense that they're shaking up and waking up many people.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we talk with a radio favorite, Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. Today, Jan and J.D. consider various current event scenarios that could provoke fear in many rather than faith. Here is Jan Markell.
You know, when I go out and about, which isn't very often, I look at people going to and fro, and I just think, do they have any idea what's coming? They're going about their lives, the busyness of their lives. And if they're a Christian, they're playing church. And if they're a pastor, God forbid, they get up there behind that pulpit and they just talk silly stuff, nonsense. And there's an iceberg ahead. Where are the watchmen? Where's the warning? Where's the alarm? Where's the sounding of the alarm? Wake up! Do you know what's coming?
Welcome to the program. Hope that was a sufficient tease for you. My guest for the hour says that he is not fearful of perilous times, and make no mistake, they are perilous. God can create good out of any chaos, and my goodness, we have chaos going on around the world today. He wants people to ask him why he is not fearful. Quite frankly, because everything is outlined in the Bible for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And many refuse, obviously. We've got bullet points that we're going to be talking about for the hour. My guest, I'll bring him on in a moment, Pastor J.D. Farag. We've got a virus that has the potential of ravaging the world, and I'm trying here to be conservative in my terminology. We've got other illnesses for that matter. We've got locusts devastating parts of the world. We've got an increase in, I would call, some natural calamities that are increasing in intensity. We've got a crisis in Syria, which is nothing new, really. But as we speak, just in the last couple of months, another 1 million people are now fleeing. That's just in the last two and a half months, perhaps 3 months. We've got the Middle East tension. We've got a polarizing political discourse in America. For that matter, some are fearing almost a collapse or some kind of an internal crisis because of the political discourse just in our country alone. Well, thankfully, Israel's had her election back in early March, March 2nd. We'll see how that's going to turn out. We're hoping for the best that Benjamin Netanyahu can form a coalition. We've got Pope Francis rushing towards a one world religion with a very significant meeting coming up on Israel's Independence Day, May 14th. I saw a couple of headlines. One headline read, "Sense of doom and dread everywhere." Well, I hope that's not the case in the church. Another headline I saw, "What can government force people to do in the name of containing the virus?" Well, that's an intriguing headline. I saw another one that says, "Empty streets in some of the world's biggest cities." I could go on and on and on. I'm not going to go on because I want to turn this little monologue into a dialogue with Pastor J.D. Farag. J.D. Farag, welcome back to the program.
Oh, it's so great to be with you, Jan.
Fear in so many places. I mean, not everyone, but too many places. We've got some stores with nearly empty shelves. We've got some people who are just staying home. Activities are being canceled. Trips are being canceled. People have questions. People have anxiety. People are bewildered. You've talked about this. You've talked about this in some of your weekly updates. Talk to me a little bit about it because you've handled the fear factor. I'm going to play a clip or two of you. You've handled the fear factor brilliantly.
So, Jan, to me, the fear of the coronavirus is worse than the actual coronavirus itself.
Mm-hmm.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a disciplined mind. And as Christians, we should not be given over to fear. God rules over all and overrules all. Everything is under his complete control, and everything is going perfectly according to his prophetic plan. There's nothing to fear.
I would agree with you. Not only that, but Matthew 24, which we need to clarify, Matthew 24 and Luke 21 are talking about the tribulation. We're not there yet. And I think the tribulation, I say weekly, is casting a shadow on the church age. But Matthew 24 talks about some things that are going to be happening. Some of the calamities that if Jesus Christ didn't return, no flesh would be saved. That's ominous. That's stunning.
And it's a description prophetically of the seven-year tribulation,
yeah,
that mankind will have the potential to completely annihilate the entire population of the earth. So this is very detailed. Jesus is very specific about what would happen were it not for God himself intervening for the sake of his elect.
And the elect, by the way, are the Jews. The elect aren't the church. That's not a reference to the church there. J.D. Farag, I want to play a couple of clips of you. I want to play a clip talking about the potential. You brought this out in one of your updates. I'll say more about your updates as we go through the hour here. You have raised the issue, and it's not unique. It's an intriguing thought. Could this virus have been released deliberately? I don't know that we'll ever know. There's certainly intriguing articles online that would suggest this is a possibility.
What is going on? What's going to happen? What does all this mean? Well, we don't know. Is that fair to say? We really don't know. And the experts, they don't seem to know either. It's so striking to me how much not just the lack of information, but the misinformation concerning this virus. And certainly there is no shortage of those who suggest that it's man-made. The molecular structure of this particular virus is such that it is not organic in nature, that it's been weaponized. There's also speculation as to whether or not it was accidentally released or was it released deliberately. And if it was released deliberately, what's the purpose in releasing something like this deliberately? There's so much that we don't know about this, and you'll forgive me for saying this, but I think it's a good thing. Really? Wow, Pastor, you are one sick individual. Just no pun intended. Stay with me. To me, this is textbook. In the sense that when you don't know, you can turn to that which you can know, namely the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I would submit to you that people are doing just that because man doesn't have the answer. The whole world now is fearful about this virus and the potential of this virus to spread. And make no mistake about it, this could be catastrophic, but that's a good thing because sometimes the bad thing can be the catalyst for the good thing. And if this is the bad thing that turns people to the Lord, then it's a good thing. Would you agree with me?
I think that was simple and yet profound at the same time, J.D. Farag. For example, I'm sure you're aware that some of the Christians in parts of China are actually, folks are seeking them out. They're able to give the gospel more freely at this particular time.
I have a precious couple in my church that were missionaries in China for over 30 years. What they have told me is that the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have today in China are, I hate to say it this way, they would put us here in America to shame. And God is using them in a mighty way for such a time as this to talk about how the bad can be the catalyst for the good. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. To me, this coronavirus, especially as it relates to China, is God's way of bringing more people into the kingdom while there's still time.
Yeah. One more clip of you, and this is dealing with the fear factor. And the fear factor, I think, as I observe it probably daily, the fear factor is growing by leaps and bounds exponentially, almost on a daily basis. And part of that is the media. And of course, the media loves any story that's got some anguish to it because it gets readers and viewers. What happens is the fear factor then starts to go off the chart, and that's what's concerning all of us.
You're out and about, and there's no fear. You have faith. You trust the Lord. And they're looking at you going, why are you not freaking out? Oh, let me tell you why I'm not freaking out. A couple of reasons. The first of which is, this means the Lord's coming is drawing nearer than any could ever imagine. Because we were told in the Bible that this is exactly what would happen at the time of the end. During the 7-year tribulation, this is exactly what's going to happen. Things like this, these pestilences, these plagues will come upon the whole earth. It's exactly what's going to happen. So why are you so calm? Because I know the Lord, and the Lord knows me, and I'm at perfect peace because the Lord is going to take me as that rat in our 2 Thessalonians teaching out of that water before I perish. The Lord is going to take me out of this world before all of this happens. Well, what do you mean? Oh, that's the blessed hope. That's the hope that I have. I know it's, I want to be accurate when I say this, but it's not even so much a hope. I know it. I don't hope. I know it. I know the Lord's coming back. I know this is the truth. I know God is in control. I have nothing to fear. God rules over all and overrules all, and there's no fear.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Hawaii, Pastor J.D. Farag. He pastors Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. We're playing some clips from his weekly prophecy updates. You can find them on YouTube, and I highly recommend that you do. It's posted every Sunday afternoon. J.D. Farag, I'm just reading a couple of verses here from Revelation 6:8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and hunger, and with pestilence, and with the beasts of the earth. That's Revelation 6. My heart's cry is that our pulpits would be teaching some of this so that the people could connect the dots. I mean, sort of what you're talking about here in your prophecy update, you're connecting the dots of what's predicted to happen, and then now we see things starting to, well, they've been playing out really heavily since 1948, but the intensity is picking up.
You know, that Revelation passage you just read is very interesting because in the original language of the Greek New Testament, it's the Greek word chloros, where we get chlorophyll mm-hmm. or chlorine. Many believe that this will be something of a viral nature that will wipe out a large population of the earth at the time of the tribulation. The point I always try to get across is that if we're starting to see that which will come to pass and be ultimately fulfilled in and during the 7-year tribulation, and it's already starting to happen now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is what Jesus said. Luke records it, chapter 21, that when you see these things begin, key word, to come to pass, lift up your heads and look up. Why? Because your redemption draws nigh.
Well, it says in a similar passage, Luke 21, that men's hearts would fail them for fear when they see the things that are coming upon the earth. We don't want their hearts to fail them for fear. That's why I played some of these clips that I've played, because this is a time for faith, not fear.
Well, Luke 21, you're quoting verse 25 through 27, where he says there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars mm-hmm. and on the earth. This is interesting. Distress of nations.
Oh, don't we have it?
Perplexity. Mm-hmm. It's perplexing. It's puzzling. Mm-hmm. And then men's hearts, verse 26, failing them from fear. Mm-hmm. This is heart failure.
That's right.
And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. And then he goes on and says, now when these things begin to happen, that's when you look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near.
I found it interesting that in some cases, the Jews, again, are being accused of spreading this virus, this coronavirus, for financial gain, which is not a new concept. I mean, they were blamed for the Black Plague back in the 1300s. They were blamed, led to massacre of a lot of Jews, which I think there's an interesting twist on this story, and that Israel is talking about having a cure, a vaccine, within a couple of months for coronavirus. Isn't it tragic, though, that the blame eventually has to go on the Jews, even though they've been such a blessing to the world?
Right. I was listening to a commentary about the propensity for Israel to actually come up with a vaccine. The commentary had to do with this boycott movement. And what are they going to do when Israel has the cure for this coronavirus? Are they going to boycott the antidote?
They may. They very well may. I gave a lineup as I came into the program, and I said that all sorts of things are taking place. And as a matter of fact, you gave a message in one of your updates. You listed seven things that we should be paying attention to. One of them we've already talked about here. Some other things, I mean, we've got a locust invasion in parts of the world that's of staggering proportion. I said in, I think it was last week's program I did, that these locusts can devour a farm in 30 seconds. You wrap your brain around that, 30 seconds, a farm in Africa and other parts of the world, I think parts of the Middle East and even creeping into China, 30 seconds, it's all gone. Some natural disasters of other kinds. And then I happen to reference the polarizing political discourse, well, first in America, probably secondly in Israel. And we've been in a very intense political season. It's far from over. It's going to go on another many, many months. And you said something to me about the one word that might characterize our times right now would be uncertainty. We have uncertainty in U.S. politics. We have uncertainty in Israeli politics. We have uncertainty in the financial world. We have uncertainty in the geopolitical world. We have so much uncertainty that you hardly know where to take a conversation because we don't know where anything's going other than those of us who know the outline in the Bible. We know where it's all going.
Well, again, this goes back to the bad can be the catalyst
for the good.
Uncertainty can also be the catalyst for the certainty, the more sure word of prophecy, as the Apostle Peter writes. One of the things that the Lord's really been ministering to me just since the beginning of the year, since here we are in March, and so much has happened just since the beginning of the year. It is just mind-boggling, the swiftness with which everything is taking place. To me, and this is what the Lord's been ministering to me, is that he's using all of these things, all of the uncertainty, all of the fear even, as the catalyst to bring people to faith. Because what is faith? Well, faith is the antithesis of fear. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, key word, the evidence, strong word, of things yet unseen. So here you have this fear factor, as we say, and yet that is the factor that brings people to faith because there is this insatiable hunger and thirst for certainty concerning the future.
The future, yes. Well, as you peruse, let's just take American politics for a moment here, and I'm going to throw out some words. We've had sort of a window on what might be unprecedented corruption. Again, the word uncertainty, we've used that now twice. Unprecedented attacks on a sitting president now for 3 years at just simply a staggering level. I think both America and Israel are, well, they're drowning in the deep state. They both have a deep state, and it's filled with dangerous people. It's filled with globalists. It's filled with socialists. It's filled with communists. It's filled with God-haters. But I did not think that I would live to see the day when, J.D. Farag, we could be one election away from America turning into Venezuela or Cuba.
Well, at the risk of being too frank when I say this, and you'll forgive the bluntness with which I say
this. Please be blunt.
Okay. If Bernie Sanders were to be elected president of the United States, that's it.
Mm-hmm, I know.
He has been very clear concerning his hatred for Israel. And he would, with a stroke of a pen, the click of a mouse, and all U.S. support for Israel.
Yes, he would.
You know what? This is an interesting year. The third election on Monday, March the 2nd, while Netanyahu did well, better than he had the prior two elections, he still does not have what he needs to form a government. So the jury is still out on how that's going to play out. Now, here's what I'm thinking. And again, you'll forgive the bluntness with which I say this, but it is very possible that by the end of this calendar year, there will not be a Netanyahu in Israel and there will not be a Trump in the United States. If that happens, and it could, then would you agree with me, Jan, that that is the beginning of the end and everything now falls into place?
Well, then the Antichrist is waiting in the wings. He may be anyway, I suspect he is. And wouldn't a Bernie Sanders work very well with the Antichrist?
Oh, it's a perfect fit.
We're not making a prediction here, folks. We're not saying this is how the election's going to turn out in November. We're just throwing some things out here for thoughtful discussion, that's all. Because the world is heading pell-mell into some kind of a phase that perhaps it's never gone through before. We've been through a process in America for 3 years of political uncertainty, political crisis, political conflict, all sorts of just absolute headbanging with the two political parties in America. Same thing going on in Israel. We would like to see finality and have a few months or a few years of peace and calm. I'm not sure. J.D. Farag, we're so late into God's calendar, maybe that's never going to happen anymore.
Well, that's well said, Jan. I oftentimes wonder if maybe this needs to come to pass, that the end might come, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Okay, let's just, for purpose of discussion, say there's no Trump, there's no Netanyahu. And whoever is in there and whatever comes as a result, well, why would we not be okay with that as Christians?
Yes, I agree with you.
Because what that means then is that we're not going to be here very much longer, if at all. In Matthew 24, Jesus teaches this parable about the wicked servant contrasted with the righteous servant, who was found faithful when his master returned, as compared to the wicked, evil servant who said, oh, my master delays his coming. And the result of that was, well, I just am going to party on. And he ate and drank and beat his fellow servants, and so that when the master did come at an hour he expected not, he was caught off guard. So stay with me on this. If it goes that way, wouldn't it stand to reason that it would be an indication of just how close we are and how the Lord wants for us as Christians to loosen our grip, ever-tightening grip on this world and the things of this world? Sometimes I think as Christians, we want a pro-Christian president and a pro-Israel president. We applaud that, and we want that, and we want America to be great again, but that means that we're going to be here a little bit longer.
Yes.
When it doesn't go that way, are we going to be okay? And are we going to say, hey, time's up, time to look up, because we're going to be caught up?
Well, there seem to be two categories of people, those who really are longing to hang around here a little bit longer, and then there are a few of us who are just fine with finding our heavenly home and the reunions that await us. The sooner the better. You encounter those as a pastor. I encounter them as a ministry leader. I understand where they're both coming from, but I've grown weary. I've grown weary of this world, and you talk about that almost every week on your update. Again, folks, tap into it on YouTube. Type into J.D. Farag's Prophecy Updates every Sunday afternoon, Hawaii time. It's a little bit later than that, of course. He's pastor of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. J.D. Farag, here's where I still want to go in our discussion. I want to talk a little bit about, we may have to do this in my second half of the program, We have a most charismatic pope, probably, that we've ever had in Pope Francis, and I'm not suggesting the charismatic is in a positive way, because he's pushing for more globalization and even almost a global faith. He's got a forthcoming meeting coming up, happens to be on Israel's anniversary, May 14th. He's been trying to merge with Islam more and more, and it just seems like if he isn't setting the stage for the global religion, I'm not even saying he's going to take us into a global religion. He could, but I'm saying he's certainly preparing the way, and someone else could pick up the pace if they had to. I want to talk about that when I get back from our short time out I'm going to take, and I also want to talk a little bit about an illustration you gave in one of your updates. And interestingly enough, Anne Graham Lotz gave a similar illustration at my 2016 conference a few years ago now. And it's a little illustration of the Titanic. How sometimes Christians can be in parallel with what happened on the Titanic. I want to talk about those things when I get back. Folks, remember, we've got Understanding the Times 2020 coming up on September 26th and 27th this fall. Saturday will be at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Sunday will be at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. I'm going to say more about that. I'll probably say a little bit more about that as I go out of the program. We won't even be offering tickets probably until June 1st, but we're encouraging you to put the event on your calendar. It will be live streamed, of course, and we've got a number of outstanding speakers: Pastor Barry Stagner, Michelle Bachman, Joel Rosenberg, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. I'm going to continue with Pastor J.D. Farag.
We love friendly feedback. Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Be sure to catch J.D. Farag's prophecy updates on YouTube, posted each Sunday, where he considers current events that line up with the Bible and these last days. More in a moment. We are now shipping the new Ingenuity Films DVD, Before the Wrath. This is a docudrama on the rapture of the church, centered on a Jewish wedding in Galilee. It is written and produced by Brent Miller Jr. and features commentary by Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Jan Markell, and others. It is narrated by Kevin Sorbo and features 60 actors. Why has the church dropped the important message that the King is coming, when it is, as the Bible says, our blessed hope? As our times get more difficult and days are filled with uncertainty, here is a biblical theme that consumes almost 30% of the Bible. How tragic that most churches have set aside this glorious news that Jesus Christ promises to remove His bride, His church, in the rapture, prior to what is known as the tribulation. We offer the DVD for just $20 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. Visit our online store at olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. The DVD is also offered in our print and e-newsletters. Sign up on our website.
If I had my preference, I would go home. I want to go home. I know there's still work to do, but I want to go home. And if America is still great and prosperous and strong, then that's an indication to me that we're still going to be down here for a very long time, as long as it is. Mm-hmm. So I want to make heaven great again.
Mark your calendar for Understanding the Times 2020, Saturday and Sunday, September 26th and 27th, just outside of Minneapolis. Return now to Jan Markell and Pastor J.D. Farag as they consider more current events that warrant our attention. Is Pope Francis an apocalyptic player? We suggest he might be. Here is Jan Markell and J.D. Farag.
Many professing Christians don't see or don't want to see the prophetic iceberg ahead on the horizon. Instead, many continue rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, as it were, wasting invaluable time on the sinking ship of this world and the things of this world.
Welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I play these little teases because that indicates sort of some of the direction that we'll go in the time remaining. We're actually going to hit a number of topics in the time remaining. My guest is on the line from Kaneohe, Hawaii. I happened to be there exactly 2 years ago this week, enjoyed ministering to the flock at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe. By the way, if you'd like to sign up for the various newsletters we offer, we talk about all of these things in the newsletters, print, sign up at the website olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We're very active on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, YouTube. We are putting our programming a little more visually oriented on both YouTube and his channel, hischannel.com. What I'd like to do is I'd like to move into the closing half of the program here. And Pastor J.D. Farag and I were talking a little bit off air and doing some contemplating here on what's going on in the world and the government. He came up with a few comments that were kind of classic, and I just want to pursue it for just a minute or two, I think. And Pastor J.D. Farag, I heard you say, and you and I would be on the same page here, we love seeing America prosper, even though America is not our home. Heaven is our home. You said something really interesting to me off air. You said, so many want to make America great again. You want to make heaven great again. Now, I find that a really interesting statement. Why don't you clarify what you meant by that? And then I want a follow-up question.
Okay, so if America is great, and arguably, and to his credit, in all fairness, mm-hmm. President Trump has made America great again. Praise the Lord. The problem is that if it's so great down here, it doesn't make heaven as great up there. In other words, when things are really going good down here, and they are going good down here, it doesn't make us long for heaven. Conversely, if things weren't so great down here, then it makes us long for heaven even more. I love this country. My parents immigrated
yes.
when I was 9 months old from the Middle East, fleeing Islam at the time. This is 1963.
Mm-hmm.
To come to America, and for that I have an eternal debt of gratitude mm-hmm. because I don't know that I would be alive, let alone saved, had my parents stayed in the Middle East. I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, and that's not the place to be right now.
That's right.
So here I am, and I have enjoyed and been so blessed here in America, but this is not my final destination. What happens, I think, with Christians is we dig our roots down too deep in the temporal soil of this earth. And when things are great again,
yeah.
and so if we're going to keep America great again, and if that happens, well, then that means we're not going home yet, and there's still work to do, which is fine. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He was so torn.
That's right, he was.
He wanted to go be with the Lord.
That's right.
But he knew that they still needed him. He still had work to do. But he was very candid in saying that if I had my preference, I would go home. I want to go home. I know there's still work to do, but I want to go home. And if America is still great and prosperous and strong, then that's an indication to me that we're still going to be down here for a very long time, as long as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make heaven great again.
Well, I think that's a provocative thought. I do. And I think I would say probably half my audience totally resonates with what you're saying and is in 100% agreement. Others, quite frankly, are clinging to this earth, and I kind of understand that too. Hopefully some horrific, again, we opened the program talking about this blossoming. We still don't know where in the world it's going. The coronavirus, I mean, it certainly could peter out. And at the other side of the coin is it could turn into a global pandemic. And if something like that happened, my goodness, if people are confined to homes or kept away from any form of gathering place, and if there are massive, massive numbers of illnesses and fatalities, it's not so great.
You know, I quoted Corrie ten Boom during one of my prophecy updates recently, where she said that she had learned to hold on loosely to the things of this world, for we know not when they will be required of us. And she wasn't talking about material things. She was talking about loved ones and family members. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the prosperity in this country, the freedoms that we have, and we praise the Lord for that. But I think that we would do well to hold on loosely to it, because this is not our home.
You gave an interesting illustration. I'm fascinated by what happened back in 1912 to the Titanic, the unsinkable, a ship that was, well, they boasted, there's no way this ship can sink. The disaster, as you pointed out, you actually brought this out in one of your updates not too long ago. Anne Graham Lotz brought some of this out when she spoke to my conference in 2016. Fascinating story. It has a very sad ending. But you brought out the fact that the disaster may not have been due so much to human error, but rather sort of a reflective mirages that created an optical illusion of a false horizon. You went on, because you didn't stop there. You feel we are in sort of equally deceiving times with false optical illusions. Why don't you explain a little bit what you mean by that?
Sure. I referenced a 2012 Smithsonian documentary. It was titled Titanic's Final Mystery, and this historian, Tim Maltin, presented his theory about the Titanic's fate. He presented his findings in this book titled A Very Deceiving Night. So on that night, the conditions were ripe for what they call a super refraction, and it prevented the Titanic's lookout from actually seeing the iceberg because it created this false horizon. So they just kept going. And so I drew the parallel to where we are today with everything that's happening in the world, that it is a very deceiving night, and we can't see, people can't see the prophetic iceberg due to this false horizon of an optical illusion vis-a-vis a strong delusion. You know, striking to me in the Gospels and even in the Epistles, there's this common theme from the Savior himself and from the Apostle Paul. He echoes the same thing. Let no man deceive you. Don't be deceived. The implication is that there's going to be this great deception. And even in 2 Thessalonians, Paul describes how God himself will send a strong, a powerful delusion.
That's right.
And this is what happened on that fateful night. They didn't see it because of this optical illusion, this mirage, this false horizon. So it was full steam ahead. The parallel is even more terrifying in the sense that those on the Titanic really, truly, honestly believed it was unsinkable, because that's what they were told.
Some of them, J.D., they actually wanted to stay on the Titanic rather than get into the lifeboats. They thought it was safer to stay on the Titanic.
Exactly right. And that's why many perished.
That's right.
They would not get into the lifeboats. They thought, hey, this is not going to sink.
No way.
And they were unconvinced, and they stayed because they thought, they were deceived and believed that they would be safer to stay right where they were at. And is that not an apt description of where we're at today?
Many Christians believe that there's a lot more time. We can go on enjoying life. Let's avoid the lifeboat. Jesus Christ is the lifeboat. There are some haunting parallels. We are on a sinking ship, I think. The lifeboat clearly is Jesus, salvation he offers, but many would rather keep on partying.
Well, that's the...
That's the parallel.
Sadly, many a Christian today is like those on the Titanic. They don't believe. They've been deceived. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to sink. And yet, just up ahead, you know, when I shared this recently, I share it often, how that whenever I'm out and about, I watch people and I see people just going about their lives. They're busy going to and fro, and they have no idea what's ahead.
They have no idea. You're right.
Yeah, this is why I say that all of the bad things is actually a good thing, because maybe that's the thing that it's going to take to get people's attention.
That's why we opened the program talking about some of the God's giving us some signals. Are you watching the calamities that are going on? Again, we've got a locust invasion of unparalleled proportion. We've got so many things going on. We've got other illnesses. We talked about coronavirus. We've got H1N1. We've got African swine fever. We've got other things that are going on in this world. I referenced some of the refugee issues, which are staggering. And then the fallout that these issues cause to various nations, particularly in Europe. And I also referenced Pope Francis, and I want to spend just a minute or two on Pope Francis. J.D. Farragan, he is my guest for the hour, and you can learn a lot more. He's pastor of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. His Sunday updates on YouTube are absolutely fantastic. I know you started in about 2006 online, J.D., and I know you thought you and your family would be the only watchers, and now you've got well over 100,000 that are loyal followers of yours. God's really opened the door for an electronic outreach. We hope and pray that the electronic, the world of the social media, continues to cooperate so we can keep doing those kinds of things. One of the other points I was going to head to here, and that is Pope Francis, and I'm not in the frequent habit of giving kudos to a Catholic nun, but there is one online who is scolding Pope Francis big time. I don't know her name, but she is quite an intriguing gal, and she's saying to the Pope, if you continue promoting what you and I are going to talk about here in the next couple of minutes, you're going to bring about the end of Christianity. Now, that's a strong statement coming from a Catholic. But this particular nun is really chewing out Pope Francis because he's pushing for more, number one, globalization, and then the globalization of faith, globalization of religion, and he's using some of the usual things, climate change and those kinds of things. J.D., he's got a meeting coming up May 14th, 2020, significant meeting. He seems to be moving, certainly merging Catholicism with Islam. Where do you see this going?
Well, let me back up to February of last year, February 2019. This was when the Pope's global vision was laid out in this document on the human brotherhood for world peace and common living together that was signed by Pope Francis and Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, and this was in Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates. To me, that was the beginning of what really began to show this Pope's true colors. Again, Janice, you've gotten to know me over the years. You know that I'm certainly not bashful. And I'm just going to say that it's very likely that this Pope is the false prophet. There are even some who suggest that he may himself be the Antichrist. We don't know, but it's sure looking an awful lot like this Pope is going to bring together the world's religions, and for this Pope to do this on Israel's Independence Day celebration, I mean, that is just, I mean, there are no words.
Yeah.
I got saved in 1982, and I've been following the Vatican and the papacy ever since. I'll never forget in 1995, well, first of all, Pope John Paul II, I have a photograph of him. He had an audience with the, I forget his official title, from Iraq, and he was presented with a Quran, which Pope John Paul II bent down and kiss.
That's right. He did.
1995, Pope John Paul II met with all of the world's religious leaders to pray together. The popes prior to Pope Francis have joined hands with Islam. Boy, it's been a number of years now. I don't necessarily want to go too far into this, but I did a prophecy update, oh, this is many years ago now, comparing the similarities between Catholicism and Islam.
What's fascinating, JD, as a matter of fact, you and I need to do radio on that sometime because I've heard it. It's outstanding.
Well, even in the Quran, they venerate Mary.
They do.
And denigrate Jesus. This borders on, and I certainly never want to be seen as being into these conspiracy theories, but I remember from a good source that there is the belief, and there is merit to it, that actually the Vatican was the one responsible for creating Islam. So when you see this Pope and the Vatican doing what they're doing hand in hand with Islam, on Tuesday, February 11th, Breaking Israel News published this article about it, and they say in there, quote, historically, the Vatican was no friend to the Jews, but its new initiative aligns the Catholic Church with Islam in a one-world religion that may be the biggest threat ever to the Jewish people.
I have you saying here a quote from you. This meeting, the meeting referring to the May 14th, 2020 meeting, you say this meeting is significant and particularly because Judaism is the last bastion pushing back against the New World Order. What did you mean by that?
Well, that was actually the quote from this article. They say, quote, according to one rabbi, let me back up, a major event to advance the project will take place on the anniversary of the birth of the State of Israel, which, according to one rabbi, is fitting since Judaism is the last bastion entirely incompatible with a new world order. See, here's the thing. In Jerusalem on Friday is Islam.
Yeah.
On Saturday, Shabbat, it's Judaism. On Sunday, it's Catholicism. And so here this Pope is now going to bring the three major religions together. Catholicism and Islam are already together.
Yes, they are.
So it now needs to be Judaism. So let's declare this on the anniversary of the birth of the State of Israel.
I think we need to keep our eyes on this. I mean, many have been watching the Vatican for decades, even more so since Pope Francis was installed, I believe, 2013. I think the scenario got a little bit more almost apocalyptic during his reign. J.D., I believe he's 83 years old. He's got an incredible amount of energy for a man of that age. He's globetrotting, the likes of which people 20 years younger would have a hard time doing. So he seems to have a lot of stamina.
You know, when I watch him, and as Christians, we've been given the Holy Spirit and the discernment of spirits. When I watch him, there's a check. In my heart, this Pope is different. There's something about this Pope, and it's bearing out.
Yes.
I mean, you just see, I did not know about this Catholic nun. That's very intriguing.
Yes, she's a fascinating woman, about 80 years old, scolding him for about 50 full minutes on YouTube, taking a bold stand. She's saying bluntly, if you continue this, Pope Francis, it's going to mean the end not of Catholicism. She's saying this will be the end of Christianity as we know it. She's taking whatever years she has left to be serving under the Vatican, I'd say, are in huge jeopardy.
You bringing up, Jan, the age of this Pope is very apropos, and I think for what would be deemed obvious reasons. There's a window of time.
Yeah, it's a window of time. That's why I reference it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
J.D. Frog, I think you are known. You're known for lots of things. You're known, let's kind of speak for myself here, you're known as somebody with an Arab heritage who loves the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. You're known for being one of the few pastors I don't want to say left on the planet, but let's say you're one of the few pastors who continue to beat the drum. In some cases, you'll literally do that if you have to. And I mean for the eschatological theme in the Bible, that one third of the Bible that today is being pretty much overlooked by a lot of churches, probably according to Brent Miller. And now that the film in which both you and I, Jack Gibbs, Amir, others are now featured in the Before the Wrath, Brent brings out the reason he made Before the Wrath film is that in the Lifeway research that was done, 98% of the churches will not talk about the various topics we've talked about in this hour. And so you are unique in that you'll do that on a regular basis. You happen to do it on a weekly basis, which is extremely unusual. Again, folks, you can find that on YouTube. You're just very unusual. And then, of course, you ended up, you're suffering for Jesus over there in Hawaii. I know it's difficult for you to do that. A beautiful facility God gave you in Kaneohe, Hawaii. But what you're really known for is that you close every presentation with the ABCs of salvation. I don't want to break tradition. You've got 5 minutes. You take it.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for that opportunity, Jan. And yes, about 2 years ago, the Lord really impressed heavily upon my heart the need to end every single prophecy update with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the ABCs of salvation. And it's so simple. It's childlike simple. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we do these ABCs of salvation, which is just a childlike explanation of salvation. And the A in the ABCs is for admit or acknowledge that you've sinned, that you need the Savior, that you need salvation. Romans 3:10 says there is no one righteous, not even one. And Romans 3:23 tells us why. It's because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, it's interesting because you sort of have the bad news packaged first with the good news, and that's what the gospel is. The word gospel means good news. Your debt has been paid. You're free to go. What debt? Oh, the sin debt. The wages of sin is death. It's the death penalty. We've all sinned, and we've all been sentenced to death. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He came, he died in our stead, was buried, rose from the dead, and is coming back again. That is the good news, the gospel. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as Romans 10:9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might, not you could, not you should. No, you will. And then the C, lastly, is for call upon the name of the Lord. As Romans 10:9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's why. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And lastly, my favorite is Romans 10:13. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
That's a simple plan, and that's kind of a call to action for some of you who are listening, and I hope some of you did take that very seriously. We live in extremely uncertain times. We even talked about the uncertainty that's going on. We talked about the political uncertainty, the financial uncertainty in the world right now is staggering, geopolitical uncertainty, but there's day-to-day uncertainty. J.D., I was in Nashville, Tennessee, National Religious Broadcasters, very recently. I flew out, and 2 days later, Nashville, Tennessee, parts of it were wiped off the map. I'm in touch with folks there now on a daily basis to see how things are going. That's how quickly life changed for some people. Some were almost vaporized with an F3 tornado a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago now. That's how quickly life changes. That's why we give these warnings. Because no one is guaranteed a tomorrow. No one is guaranteed the next 10 minutes. As we flew out of that beautiful city, little did we think that a few hours later, this F3 tornado was going to come through and change the lives of so many people and cause so much devastation, heartache, and tears and weeping. J.D. Frog, thank you for all you do. Again, you might want to stay in touch with him. The best way is through YouTube, his Sunday afternoon updates that go up late afternoon. Best website for you, J.D., is
CalvaryChapelKaneohe.com, K-A-N-E-O-H-E, CalvaryChapelKaneohe.com, or just search YouTube and there will be a link there to the website.
Appreciate all that you're doing, and I'm just going out of the program here. All I want to kind of focus on is that we be people of faith and not fear. We have talked about some ominous things in this hour. We're talking about a potential pestilence. We don't know where it's going at this point. I have a feeling it's going to be more devastating than most people are thinking. Again, are we going to be people of faith or people of fear? And I don't think you can be both. I really don't. And that's kind of been the purpose of this hour, is to reemphasize that. So I want to go out of the program just with a simple Bible verse. I use it very often. It comes out of Psalm 31, 14 and 15. I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. All that is a comfort to me. Our times are in his hands. He has everything under control, and everything is falling into place. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Mighty to say, you are the love song.
Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Yes, our times are perilous. Yes, we face uncertainty on every level. There is no stability on earth other than knowing God is in control of every detail of our lives. He controls every activity on this broken planet, and he works good out of evil. And he is causing everything to fall into place.